Good evening, everyone. You're in the right place at the right time. This is Coast to Coast AM, blasting out of the Mojave Desert like a Scirocco, blazing across the land, slamming into your radio like a supercharged nanoparticle of unobtainium. Greetings from the boldest, bawdiest, most outrageous city in the world, the planetary capital of sun, fun, sin, sex, and secrets, my not-so-humble hometown, Las Vegas, Nevada. My name is George Knapp, your occasional host, designated driver of the airwaves, and moderator of tonight's upcoming cacophonous cavalcade of conversation. Tonight we journey back in time, at least back in time for me, to the point where I started down this weird road, the subject, Area 51, Groom Lake, Dreamland, The Box, Paradise Ranch, probably a lot of other names we aren't allowed to know. You know, it's kind of a contradiction in terms, in a sense, the world's best-known secret base. I'm using air quotes around secret. It is a top-secret facility that has played a crucial role in the protection of our national security, but which has been so secretive, so over the top in hiding what goes on out there that it has spawned all kinds of wild stories. It's the base that didn't exist, at least for a lot of years. It was there, and then poof, it's gone, like Brigadoon. Like the stealth aircraft that spawned. For those of you who do not live in caves or under rocks, Area 51 is back on the front burner these days. The base that didn't exist has found a whole new audience and is once again at the forefront of UFO arguments and discussions. You know, I mentioned a couple of times on the program in the last month or so and in several stories that we've written and aired for KLAS-TV, the Storm Area 51 movement, that's what you'd like to call it, as I've expressed before. You know, the first rule of Storm Area 51 is don't storm Area 51. Don't do it. Don't try to cross the line out there, not even if there are a million people, which is, you know, pretty unlikely number, by the way. We'll get into that a little bit later. But is there something less drastic that might help move the ball down the field, make a difference, push for transparency, while at the same time being, perish the thought, fun as well? Well, maybe so. Tonight we'll look at how this happened, what provided the current spark, the historical context that provided the fuel for the fire that's burning now, and what might happen less than a month from now out in the Nevada desert. We have multiple guests and multiple angles to cover because this is not a simple matter and not a simple plan. It's tricky and maybe risky, primarily because no one can say for sure what is about to happen or how many people are going to show up. It's hard to even get a good guess, so tonight, we'll take a deep dive into this subject. We will hear from the young man whose Facebook page launched a million memes, jokes, cartoons, videos, serious news articles. In this hour, a longtime Nevada businessman and political strategist, George Harris, will join us to tell about his plans for his portion of this event. He calls it Storm Area 51 Base Camp and has a robust two-day event planned. Then filmmaker Jeremy Corbell will join us to talk about his role in helping to shape the narrative that's unfolding as we speak, how a much broader audience might be able to help even if they can't make it to the event themselves and in person. And then in the second half, a different take. Jorg Arnu is the webmaster for DreamlandResort.com. That's kind of a central clearinghouse for all things Area 51. He will join us to discuss sort of things that go bump or boom in the night out there in the dark desert skies. What's flying around out there? What's coming up next? What toys are being tinkered with in secrecy? And what's the view of locals about the main events planned for September 20th and 21st? Jorg is a resident of Rachel, population 56. That's the home of the Little Ailey Inn. And when he and his neighbors have heard that tens of thousands of people might descend on their town, not only descend, but take over their hamlet, many of them are less than thrilled. We'll hear why, and we'll learn a bit about the documentable secrets of the coolest secret base on the planet. So, yes, we've got a lot of ground to cover. A couple of quick news items. Did you read the announcement from NASA? The space agency has green-lighted a mission to Europa. The plan is to send a robotic craft to that faraway ice-covered moon, get under the ice, see if there's life in the oceans on that moon. Pretty exciting stuff. Not so exciting is the news this weekend from out of Southern California. Nitwits with guns shot and killed 40 wild burros. Target practice, I guess. There is a reward of $10,000 for information leading to the arrest of the suspect or suspects in this senseless and brutal crime. So if you know who did it, give us a call. In Oregon, slightly different story, similar results. Five bulls butchered, certain familiar organs taken. No one could figure out how these animals were killed, what took them down, who did it, how they got away with it, without leaving any tracks, no traces. And as we know on this program, the same sort of grisly evidence has been found all over North America for decades. You know, they blame Satanists, but not a single one has ever been caught. And unless coyotes and cougars now know how to use scalpels, doesn't look like predators are responsible either. Our webmaster tonight, Greg Bishop, and I have scoured the world's media looking for our usual assortment of items and oddities. We call it Naps News. You can find it on the Coast website. Among the items tonight, a few links related to our main subject, Area 51. I told you the storm Area 51 chatter had spawned all sorts of creative ideas. That includes songs and music videos and highly imaginative scenarios. You can check those out. We've got some links. Also, a list of some of the most intriguing legends and stories about the Area 51 base. You'll likely know a few of these, but not all of them. I don't think so, anyway. Also, a thoughtful piece about asking whether humans were meant to see reality as it is. And the answer might be no. That what we think of as reality, what we sense with our eyes, isn't really close to what reality is. That, let that one wrap itself around your brain stem for a while. Also, an essay about ETs and religion and whether life elsewhere is compatible with some of our principal religious beliefs. It's worth a look, that and more in Naps News. And while you're on the Coast to Coast website, check out how to become a Coast Insider. If you subscribe for a year, it costs pennies a day. It gives you access to a vast archive of previous programs, previous broadcasts. You can listen anytime you want, as often as you want. You can also subscribe to George Norrie's television program, Beyond Belief, which covers a lot of the same captivating topics and guests as we do here on this broadcast. George is out and about with live appearances coming up. More on that a little bit later. With that, let's assume the position. Bring in the dog and the cat and the chicken. Put on a pot of Joe. Slide your bod into the silky summer jammies. Plop yourself down someplace comfy. Turn down the lights and turn up the radio, because tonight we go exploring into the deep, dark secrets of Area 51. How to shine some light on secrets that perhaps don't need to be kept. I'm George Knapp, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. A few months ago, a Facebook page appeared kind of out of the blue, and it caught fire. The page was created by a young man named Matty Roberts, who lives in Bakersfield, California. He'd just seen an interview that involved a man named Bob Lazar talking about a secret facility in the Nevada desert, south of a base known as Area 51. The interview was by podcaster Joe Rogan, and it included filmmaker Jeremy Corbell discussing his film about Lazar and the whole Area 51 lore that's grown over the past 30 years. And it's a story that's been around a long time. I know that. You know that. But it's taken on a new life. And Matty saw this interview with Rogan and Lazar and Corbell and had an idea, a joke, really. Hey, why don't we all storm Area 51? You know, they can't stop all of us. Let's see them aliens. That's kind of how it went. Funny stuff. But somehow it struck a nerve. It exploded. And within a matter of days, millions of people not only saw this page, but said they planned to participate in an event out there. September 20th, Storm Area 51 was born. Here's a clip from an interview Matty did when he first went public and revealed his identity, talking about why he was inspired to do something.
I'm just a dude from Bakersfield. I had a meme page that had maybe 62 likes on it. Area 51 is already in the back of my mind after watching the Joe Rogan podcast with you and Bob Lazar. And then I had watched your film, Bob Lazar, Area 51 and Flying Saucers. And then it clicked. I was like, man, I have an idea for the page. Real reason I made this was as a joke. And it just completely took off after like 3 days. There's a need for knowledge. I feel like there's a lot of knowledge that's being withheld. And I think that's why the event really took off. The people have really made this into what it is. It struck a nerve with everybody. It's the pinnacle of the meme.
So it started as a joke. He's not serious about storming Area 51. Most people got that, but some didn't. And soon enough, the Facebook page kind of took on a life of its own. It's inspired other jokes and videos and cartoons and celebrity endorsements, as well as serious news stories about whether or not this is real. What started it? The story of Bob Lazar told all over again. Articles about the legacy of Area 51. Not long afterward, Matty came forward and revealed his name, and then he was visited by a couple of FBI agents. And the word went out loud and clear that storming Area 51 is a bad idea, bad on many levels. So please don't do it. It would accomplish nothing, but the seed has been planted. So several ideas have been born, proposals for major events out there in the desert, in Lincoln County and Nye County, a couple here in Clark County, pitches for events and gatherings of one kind or another with different names. And some of those, most of those have died or fallen by the wayside, but others are moving forward. They're still forming. George Harris is primarily known as a businessman, an entrepreneur here in Las Vegas, but he has a lifelong interest in aliens and ETs and government secrecy. He refers to himself as a ufologist. He created a business around all his interests. It's called Alien Tequila. The bottles, if you've ever seen them, are shaped like an ET's head. He also founded the Alien Research Center, which is built right at the start of the ET Highway. That's the road that leads to Area 51. His property will host one of the events that's planned for September 20th, 21st. George, it's great to have you on the program.
George, thank you so much for inviting me. It's going to be nice to give people information that they can use and understand, and really hopefully understand that we want them to be safe first before anything.
Well, I should tell people that, I've known you a long time, and you are really serious about this interest in these subjects. You describe yourself as a ufologist. You put your money where your mouth is. Where did it all start for you?
Well, it started for me, when I was a kid living here in Las Vegas. My father was in the news just like you. He was an anchor at Channel 8 for years and years, and we would get to go to Mercury, Nevada, and watch different things. And one of the times we were driving up there, we saw this object in front of us that literally it looked like it was 50 feet away from us, and it was a light that zoomed across us, and then it was gone. And that's when my interest started. Then I went into the military and worked in the Force Psychological Operations Command, and did a bunch of remote viewing, did some paranormal activity stuff, and I've just had this lifelong curiosity towards these different things.
You have actually been inside the perimeter of Area 51. Can you tell that story?
Yes. So the Sheehan family, who own the Groom Lake Mine, are in a dispute with the federal government, and I was brought in as an expert witness in hospitality because they wanted to open a hotel and gift shop. And from their property, you can see Area 51. It's about 8.5 miles off their property. They were there for years. I mean, their mining claims were perfected by Ulysses S. Grant. And the government never had a problem with them being out there until November of 2017, and they kicked them off their property. Well, I think I know why, because when I went out there and I looked back at the base, I saw one of the largest buildings being built that I've ever seen in my life. And look, I'm in business. I've seen hotels being built. This is a massive, massive building being built on that property.
So you got to go in there. I know that the Sheehans had invited me a couple of times, but the government, the Air Force, had always said no. But you got to go in. That's great. I'm very envious. You couldn't take any pictures, I assume.
No, they took all our cameras. They took our phones. They searched us when we went in, and they searched us when we left.
Their story is very compelling. I mean, what that family has been through over the years. They were bathed in radioactive fallout during the nuclear testing era and had all kinds of encounters with the military, some not very positive, but are still very patriotic, and I hope things work out for them. Sheehan is the name if folks want to look them up. George, so you, as I said, you put your money where your mouth is in terms of your interest in the subject. Alien Tequila was born. I'm not much of a drinker anymore, but I am told that's pretty good stuff. So where'd that idea come from?
It everything all gestated out of my curiosity, my love towards ufology. I got to meet years and years ago. I got to meet a guy named Stanton Friedman, who just mesmerized me, and he's you know, he was the first ufologist that I ever really connected with and you know, and spent time with and thought, this guy really gets it and understands. As you know, George, in this field, there are a lot of people that you know, you hear their stories and, you know, they're trying to make money, so they go from A to B. This has always cost me money. So if there's any accusatory people out there that think I'm in this for the money, let me promise you, that's why I had to start Alien Tequila, because you have to pay for all this stuff.
Same thing for the Alien Research Center. So tell me what that is. If people have ever driven on the ET highway, you know, right at the beginning of the highway, there's a turn off to a place called HICO, which is a tiny little community. I don't know if there's 100 people out there. And there's this silver building, a curved building, and a 50-foot tall alien robot that looks kind of like Gort from the day the Earth stood still. So when was that built, and what inspired you to take that leap? Because, you know, there's not a whole lot out there in Lincoln County.
Well, there's nothing out there, but when I decided that I was going to be serious about this for the rest of my life and provide an area where people can come and do their own research, and you have to fund some of this stuff. You know, I have funded people going all over the Western Hemisphere, and the way I pay for it is we have a tiny little museum and a gift shop. It's a pretty large gift shop, and it helps pay a lot of these bills for my hobby, because this is a hobby.
And how is it doing now since this Facebook page and the Storm Area 51 idea popped up? How long did it take for you to notice?
I can tell you that everybody wants to give full credit to this meme, but honestly, George, our business started increasing when Jeremy Corbell came out with the documentary on Bob Lazar. People started seeing it, you know, they would talk. So that's when it started to increase. Now, it's increased, gosh, 300-400% since the meme went out. But, you know, now everybody's just interested again, you know. And this happened about 8 years ago, 9 years ago. There was a big interest for about 2 months, and then it waned. But I think this is going to be a point, you know, that regular folks are finally going to be involved. I mean, look, Area 51, arguably, on who you believe or listen to, you know, was started in mid-1948, and they moved aliens there from Wright-Patterson Field from the Roswell accident in late 1949. You know, it depends on which story you believe and you know, or is it just a research facility? So it's going to take an individual and their idea of what they think is happening out there. I have a pretty stringent idea of what goes on out there, and I do believe that there is a craft out there, and I do believe at one point there were beings out there.
We'll get into that. Sticking with sort of the recent history, after this Facebook page takes off, how quickly did it come to your attention, and what was your first thought when you heard it?
It was pretty much immediately. People would call and they'd ask, and then you started hearing chatter that there's going to be 5,000 people show up out here on the 20th, and then it went from 5,000 to 10,000, And now the latest number that's consistent number that you've heard over the last month and a half is 30,000 people. And are they going to come? I think that you're going to be amazed, and that number is going to come on the 21st and 22nd of September. So, you know, we started talking to the sheriff. I said, look, these people are coming anyways. You know, let's try to put something together that's going to be safe and well thought out, so you can manage people and move them from point A and point B. Because I do think if 30,000 people showed up at one time, you know, this is rural area Nevada. There's no services. There's nothing. It would be a problem. So we decided to take that, and we created Storm Area 51 Base Camp Experience, which is a two-day event taking place at the Alien Research Center.
I'll tell you what, hold on, George. I need to take a break here. We'll come back and jump into the event and the challenges that you face in putting it together. We're talking with George Harris. He's a businessman from Las Vegas who is in charge of and has inspired an event surrounding the Storm Area 51. Storm Area 51 Base Camp is the name of his event. He's got 2 days of activities planned out. And it's going to attract a lot of media attention, I know. But how do you pull something like this off out in Lincoln County, which is might have 6,000 people in the whole county, limited services, limited emergency services? We're going to get into that, and then we'll be joined by Jeremy Corbell in this half hour to talk about big picture stuff. We'll be right back with more on Coast to Coast AM. George Harris, let's talk for a moment about the challenges of putting on a large event out in Lincoln County. You know, it's one of my favorite places in the world. It's a beautiful area, rural, but there are limited services. It's sparsely populated. So when you're talking about, you know, 2 million people sign up and say they're coming, which, of course, no one believed it would ever get that big, but even 5,000 people would be a major challenge for the businesses, for emergency services, police. Can you describe the challenges that you have faced in anticipating a big crowd?
Well, when we first started this, I immediately called Sheriff Kerry Lee and said, Sheriff, this thing's getting bigger and bigger, and it's going to get bigger and bigger. And no matter if we do nothing at all, people are still going to show up. So if we know people are still going to show up, why don't we take the bull by the horns and start discussing the number one issue, which is safety, which is you're in rural Nevada. Because, you know, people get great ideas, and it's a great day trip, and they come out, and, you know, and some people think they're going to storm Area 51 at 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, you know, when I talk to those people, I try to explain to them, if you're on the desert floor at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to have to worry about the sheriff getting you or the military getting you. You're going to have to worry about getting bit by a rattlesnake. That's why we continually talk about safety every other word. So we decided to put this experience together. The Storm Area 51 Base Camp, which is what we're doing, is going to be an experience. It's a two-day event that's going to take place at the Alien Research Center starting on Friday, September 20th, and Saturday the 21st. The Base Camp experience will feature an exclusive screening and appearance by the cast of the Netflix hit Bob Lazar, Area 51, and Flying Saucers. We're also going to include appearances by expert speakers. We're going to have live music, film screenings, food trucks, art installations, costume contests, photo opportunities, and many more. We're lucky to have Dick Marcinko, the first commander of SEAL Team 6, he's going to come out and sign autographs and bottles because he's got one or two stories from when he was, you know, when the teams were out in other countries and they saw stuff that was amazing. And so, George, that's how this grew out. And it grew out of necessity because no matter what, you're going to have a large amount of people coming out to rural Nevada. And we just want to make the experience, one, something that's going to be exciting for them, and two, something that will be safe.
You know, when the Facebook page first appeared and Matty was doing sort of his joke, he had told everybody show up at the Area 51 Alien Visitor Center, which is in Amargosa Valley in Nye County on the complete opposite side from the ET Highway with the giant Nevada test site and Nellis Range in between. And so a lot of people are likely to still show up there, which I don't think they're planning any event. There was another event for Nye County that was called Peace Stock, which was going to be a music festival, and the county commissioners turned that down. And then in Lincoln County, there were two events under discussion that needed permits, an event in Rachel, which we'll talk about a little bit later, and then your event. And the commissioners at least provisionally have said yes, but they had doubts, right? I mean, just in terms of law enforcement coverage, emergency services, you got challenges with cell phone service, roads.
There's a lot of I'll go over the logistics with you for a bit because it's massive. You know, I'm lucky enough that I'm, you know, and I'm not, I'm a business guy, and I understand the way to success is to have a great team behind you. So when this all came up, I've never done a festival before, an entertainment thing before. I went and I called a good friend of mine, Emily Wooford, who's got years and years experience in doing these type events. She was big in the marketing for Caesar's World. And then the other person is Keith Wright, who is another guy who's been doing these events for years. He did the extraordinarily successful Britney Spears in the Desert, which he's the guy you want because he did Britney Spears in the Desert with no services, nothing, no gasoline, no. I mean, he had to go out there and build everything out. So that's my team. That's the core team with a bunch of other great people that they have. So they took this mission on, and, you know, we believe we're going to be very successful. Look, my event or our event, because I want you, you're part of it, and Jeremy's part of it, everybody's going to be up there, is going to be for believers and then the uninitiated people to come out and learn more about this growing movement and to call for greater transparency around what many believe has been decades of government secrecy surrounding UFO technology.
The challenges that were of concern to the Lincoln County commissioners who decided to give you a permit to go forward with this were obvious. There are no gas stations out there. There's no hotel rooms. There's, like, you know, 10 hotel rooms in Rachel. They're booked. There's maybe 100 in the whole county. And, you know, people that come out there have to be ready to take care of themselves. I mean, you're going to provide some services, porta potties, food, water. But other than that, I mean, people are kind of on their own.
Well, and that's why we spend a lot of time talking to people. We're probably taking now, George, I know this sounds, we're probably taking 200 phone calls a day just for curiosity. And we tell people, look, our event, the tickets are going to be $51 per day. That's going to help pay for all the infrastructure. Okay. Why $51? Because Area 51. Okay. We're going to have campsites for tents and we're going to have RV spaces. The base camp pass includes parking, two bottles of water, a $10 food truck voucher, and a commemorative lanyard. Tickets that are purchased in advance of September 20th and 21st will also get a exclusive Storm Area 51 keepsake poster. We're I want to point out, did you notice all the stuff? For $51, you're going to get to be able to park. You're going to have two bottles of water. You're going to get a tent. We're not making, you know, we're paying for the, you know, for the infrastructure cost. George, there's not going to be cell service. When 300 people show up, cell service is going to collapse. So now I have to rent a satellite because there's no infrastructure for this. So, and satellites are very expensive. Let me promise.
Can you say what you spent already to get this thing going?
I think we're a little over $45,000, and right now we're self-funding. We do have people that want to be sponsors. We want everybody to understand that we think that this festival can go on every year, and it would be a good thing for people to come and talk about ufology and talk about paranormal activities or remote, whatever they want to discuss. We want to provide an atmosphere where someone can physically come out and go, hey, look at this. I mean, the government's got the most top secret base on the planet is in the state of Nevada. And no one ever talks about this, George, but who were the people that announced that Area 51 really existed? The Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA. They announced it in the New York Times a couple of years ago. So that even makes all these questions, you know, bigger and bigger.
Well, I'm with you on that. I wouldn't be opposed to just something just for a party out there, if you can pull it off. And if it also is a learning experience, that's pretty cool too. it's kind of like the Roswell Festival in a sense, if it could grow into something like that. And the state of Nevada has sort of embraced this. When it created the ET Highway, it was meant to do it to increase tourism out there, to take advantage of the lore and legends of Area 51. So this certainly fits with that. Again,
and I was, and that bill was ran by Diane Steele, who was an assemblywoman, and I was in the legislature as a lobbyist, and I ran that bill from beginning to end. That's before I had property out there, because I thought, wouldn't this be cool if we had a highway called the Extraterrestrial Highway? And that was the reason the government embraced it. It's, you know, we need to be able to have something that would be so cool. And I want the music. We're going to have music. We're going to have bands. We're going to have all that. But I wanted to make it, you know, ufology-centric, to have really great speakers. You know, Jeremy's coming out. He's gonna do his film. He's helping me. He's getting me speakers that really, you know, people can come out and discuss stuff and ask questions and make decisions on their own.
Well, let's bring Jeremy on and talk about the bigger picture of how to make a positive impact. Jeremy Corbell is an investigative filmmaker, an artist, and martial artist, a friend of mine. I should point out I've been featured in two of his films. I'm listed in the credits. They're his films, not mine, but he did interview me for them. And Jeremy, good to have you back on the show.
Hey, George and George, how you doing? This is amazing. It's a cultural movement. It's like the Twilight Zone and Westworld and Clockwork Orange. It's amazing.
So give us the 50,000-foot view of how to make this into something more than a party. If it's just a party and a celebration and people get together and are safe, that's good by itself. But you're hoping that it's something more, and you've been talking to George about how to do that.
It is something more. It's important to point out the power of a meme. A meme is a new thing. It's not born out of thin air. It can only thrive when there's some deep undercurrent and culture surrounding a timely thought. And that's exactly what we're seeing. The Storm Area 51 has become a powerful cultural movement. There is no denying that, whether you like it or not. And it's born out of frustration. And it's an important point that it's mobilizing people of all ages. It's being driven by a digitally savvy youth in America and around the world. This is unprecedented. You are now seeing something occurring that couldn't happen 30 years ago when Bob Lazar came out with his story, because we're living in a different digital world. So 30,000-foot view, you're seeing the will and the desire of the youth and the people on this planet to shine a light on UFO secrecy, to reveal UFO transparency. This is a true cultural and social movement. That's
well, it's kind of, it's cool to have, you know, Maddie, when he started this, you were talking to him right off the bat before the world knew who he was. And I remember you called me and had discussed it, and the initial concern was how to get this under control, make sure people don't try to storm Area 51, because I think, Jeremy, you and George would both agree that is a really bad idea.
Yeah. It started off as a joke. I mean, you know, just to be very specific, I mean, you heard, you know, the kid talk about it. You know, he's watching a Joe Rogan clip, and he sees Bob, and he sees me on Joe Rogan, you know, the powerful Joe Rogan. I underestimated that. You know, around the world, the bell tolled, and this kid was then, you know, inspired to put a Facebook event up. And again, that's a moot point if people aren't fascinated by this. Show me them aliens. People are fascinated. And all of this was inspired, you know, because of just the simple retelling of the Bob Lazar story in a Netflix documentary. I mean, it's absolutely surreal, and it has caught fire, and it's very real in the fact that people are coming. So I think someone like George Harris is doing the right thing in a community that wants it by providing safety, by providing security. We all know the threats. We all know what can go wrong. But seeing what he's doing, that's why I'm advocating. I'm not organizing anything, but I'm advocating for safety and sanity. And look, man, this could be a national holiday. This could be a time every year where people gather to communicate and show their desire. It's It's a really unprecedented time in human history, a once-in-a-generation opportunity to be part of a true cultural movement.
Hey, George
and
Harris.
And that's what this is, George. It's like, this has turned into a cultural movement. And what we're trying to do is provide the area and the time and the space for these folks to have fun. I do want to just real quick, if you can indulge me, if you're interested in purchasing a ticket, you can go to ticketmaster.com/Area 51 Basecamp, or you can visit our website at stormarea51basecamp.com. The tickets, again, I told you, they're $51 per day, 21st and 22nd. If you want a tent site that's going to be safe and have security and watching over you, that's $50 a day. It's $150 a day to park your RV. Power hookups are going to be available upon request. There's going to be a charge for 20 or 30 amp. Water and septic hookups are not going to be available because we don't have that infrastructure. So folks are going to have to dry camp in their motorhome. If you want to be a vendor and come out and sell your wares or do your art, it's $125 a day for retail vendors. It's $250 a day for food trucks and $50 for a single day vendor. Now, I tell you this because we are selling out quickly. I think the ticket sales are phenomenal, and I think Emily's going to put a slowdown on how many tickets we're going to accept, because our tickets are up for sale on Ticketmaster, and they've been up for sale for 2 days, and it's massive.
Let me ask you this, George. Are you concerned that something gets out of hand and that law enforcement just shuts it down? I mean, you're talking to the sheriff almost daily. You know what the concerns are, not only the sheriff, but the military. And I just wonder what you're hearing back from them.
Well, the sheriff and all the Nye County sheriffs and the highway patrol and believe it or not, law enforcement agencies from other counties, you know, they're meeting, they have their emergency response team. I'm, you know, one of the requirements is that I have 10 armed security staff that has experience. A lot of my guys are cops, retired military. They know what they're doing. So, you know, when you come to our place, you're going to come up, you're going to park, you're going to walk up, you're going to go through, you're going to be wanded, and then you're going to be given your lanyard and your thing, and you're going to walk in, and you're going to have an enjoyable experience, and the entire family is invited. And then after we screen the movie, we're going to have a couple of big telescopes. They'll go on the screen, and you know you'll be able to see probably the best star viewing. You know, this little area where we're at in Area 51 is considered one of the top 10 places to look at the stars. So we want to make this an experience for everyone, and a place for everyone to get together and talk.
And to give people things to do without them storming the base. George Harris.
Right, and let me tell you what I'm going to announce to you guys, that we made the decision today, and you will be able to storm Area 51, because we are going to duplicate the back gate of Area 51 on the Alien Research property. You'll be able to run through the gate. You'll be able to take all the pictures you want.
And camo dudes?
We're going to have camo dudes. We're going to have
right.
The white truck up there. And we're doing this because it's not going to be a smart idea to try to go up and storm the base. First of all, you won't get on the base.
I'll tell you what, George, we're going to have to go to a break now. I appreciate you coming on. Good luck with your event. I think it's probably safe to say that there will be quite a bit of news coverage, including KLAS TV. So thanks for joining us. And Jeremy Corbell, hang around. We'll be right back with more of our conversation about the big picture look at what this movement might become. Coast to Coast continues right after this.